it was a decision, you know, whether to move to close to the job, because in Maryland I was working really close to my job, or be closer to church. And I was like, man, this is, you know, because we could move anywhere. So I said, you know, we definitely want to be able to get to church on Wednesday. I said, I want to be able to get to church on Wednesday with no traffic, no problems. So we moved closer here. Well, on Monday, by the grace of the Lord, I was on a call, and, you know, we had just had this whole building in Atlanta renovated and everything. And they said, you know what? They made a decision to move our office 15 miles north, closer to my home. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was stunned. So that's the God we serve. He does wonderful things. I thank him. Amen. You ready for the word? Amen. Let's sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart as our brother comes out. Praise him. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes. I'm going to get Brother Bob to help me here. I want to see you. We'll just sing that first. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, glory, holy, holy. High and lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 Lord, you are. Thank you, Lord. Oh Lord, I want to see you. Amen. Well, I got to remember to take up tithes and offerings, so help us out, brother. Amen. Amen. Come on out, brother. We can do things different. Come on. Excited.
Preacher always thinks about money.
Amen.
Song leaders or not. Y'all can go be seated. I'm not singing today or tomorrow or the next day. No, it'd be special, all right. It would be special. All right. Well, good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have everybody here. I am on now, right? No? Am I on now? Yep. I'm on now. What did you say? Huh? Am I on? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That thumbs up. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here on Sunday afternoon. Good to have each and every one of you here. By way of announcements, let's get through this real quick. January 24th, as Dad said, Brother Chris Long will be here. He wanted to be here close to my birthday, so he's coming on January the 24th, because mine's on January the 26th. So anyway, but Brother Chris will be here. He's coming by. He's going to preach for Brother Jewel Forney and kind of make a swing through here. But remember that. Also remember Brother Luis will be traveling back from Ohio tomorrow. He's preaching for Brother Mike Sievert there in Ohio, so he'll be back, coming back tomorrow. So just keep him in your prayers, and then he's going to be preaching for us Wednesday night. So just keep him in your prayer for that. February the 6th, remember, we have our Valentine's banquet. Get ready for that. And come and enjoy yourself. We'll have plenty of space. Y'all see how big that thing was and the whole church fit in it with no problem. When we go have about half of that with the couples, then we have a place to run around. Amen? But come and enjoy yourself. We've always had a good time. This is number, I don't know how many this is. Mom, how many numbers is this? Number 11. This is number 11. We've seen people grow up, first get married, and now they've been married 10, 11 years, and then all of us old ones same way. So, and we'll be doing the newlywed game too, so you better get to know your spouse a little bit quicker, a little bit more. Some of you don't know anything about your spouse. So anyway, but we always have fun, and we have fun in the Lord too. And we want to thank Brother Dale and the church for always furnishing everything and always supporting it. So it's good for the couples to just kind of have a night out. Like Terrence said, though, now's the time to get your babysitters, because they won't bring in no cheering. This is just adults only. Tickles me when I say that. Certain brother stood up here one day and said he waited till his grandkids went to bed and they went and watched an adult movie. Brother Dick knew what he was talking about, but nobody else did. He meant a movie like a war movie or something he could watch, but he was, we were all stunned when he said that, but that's kind of the way it is. We're going to do adult things when we get there and have fun in the Lord. And, I thank God for my spouse. You couldn't get, like Brother, John hit it on the head. He said that was my better half. And some of you would say bitter, but it's the better half. Your better half. But thank goodness for Valentine's Day. I'm hoping everybody spends Valentine's Day every day with their spouse. Amen. Because if that's what the Lord gave you, bud, brother, the prophet of God said outside of salvation, that's the greatest thing God could compliment a man with is a beautiful spouse. Amen. And the character that she brings. Because you know what? That's our character, because we're the bride of Jesus Christ. So that's our character showing to Jesus Christ what we think of him here on the earth. And he is happy for us to be his bride. Amen. So let's go to 1 John 4. Brother Colley been reading my scripture, so he responsive read it this morning. But he read a lot of it, and we're just going to read 1 through 6. But we're not, I told you we're going to finish, but I found there's one more little item we need to cover today. And like I said before, please, please remember one thing. I am not speaking of any one person. We're talking about spirits. There's two spirits that we got to deal with, not people. Spirits. Now, you can get possessed with them, and then you become one with it. But it's the two spirits that we're dealing with, the spirit of Christ and the spirit of the Antichrist. All right? And that's the two things that we're dealing with. And we also have to deal with, and not speaking against any denomination. You heard the prophet talking about it, you know, but there is a thing that God hates. He hates Nicolaitism. He hates the conquering of the laity. So if God hates it, we got to hate it. If God hates it, we hate it. God saw what it would do to the people. We see what it's doing to the people. It's binding them and not making them free in the Lord. So before we read the scripture, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. Another opportunity to come and serve you, Lord. We pray now that you would just bless us with your presence. Lord, we appreciate the song service we just had, Lord, to feel the presence of the Lord. Now, Lord, this is another anointing, Lord, where you speak to your people, Father, and I pray that you would move this vessel out of the way and just speak through it, Father. Do the revealing, Lord. You do the speaking, Father. Just be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here, the ones that are hindered, Father, in many different ways. We pray that you would just unbind, Lord, the ones that are bound. And you can only do it, Lord, they could by asking you, Father, and the word says that you would do it for us. Forgive us of our many sins and mistakes, Lord, that we make. Just be with us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John 4, verse 1. Now, today we're going to talk about two spirits. Same thing, separation time, part 2, because there's got to be a separation. If God hates something, and he's in you, then you're going to hate it. But I'm going to show you in the very end, it's what I didn't get to last on Wednesday night, is they're going to hate you. Just like they hate Jesus, and they're going to kill you thinking they're doing God's service. That's happened since the dawn of time. Amen? That's happened since the dawn of time. Man has killed Christians thinking they were doing God's service. Amen? And then we're talking about the seals, which are in the Bible according to the book of Revelations. They're in 6, all through Revelations 8. And we see that the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for a space of a half an hour. There was nothing to be revealed, is what the prophet said. So let's read this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And as I told you before, it's not just words. It's not just something you say. You got to literally believe that man walked on earth 2,000 years ago, but that same man that walked on earth 2,000 years ago in spirit form today is inside of you. Same guy. Not another person. Same guy. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world, 2,000 years ago. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And you may be seated, the Lord add his blessing. The reading of the word, I want to hurry through this a little bit at first. Not so much, but let's read the first John 5, verse 18. It says, we know, look at this, or we know, John, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God. Now, Brother Dale's talking about begotten. We are begotten by a lively hope. We are not begotten of God by our first birth. Our first birth was a carnal knowledge of a man and a woman getting together, and by desire, not according to God, but allowed by God to get you here, makes that your second birth is more important than your first birth once you get born. But you gotta get born first time, first, right? But as Brother Dale said, that Genesis 1:26, man, is not all mankind. It's not every person that walks on the face of the earth, because not everybody is the children of God by that birth, by that begetting or begotten. Remember, Jesus Christ is the first begotten of the Father. Well, if he's the first begotten, who's the rest? We are the rest. We're the rest of the begotten of the Father. In other words, if there's a beginning of the creation of God, that constitutes that something began, but if that's the only person, the Bible should have just said, he's the only one. Right. No. Paul keeps telling us many times, he's begetting or begotten us to what? To a lively hope. He begot us. Right. All right? So by our second birth, know ye not whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That didn't say whoever's born of mom and daddy. That says whoever's born of God by your new birth sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not. Now, sometimes we get up in the morning and don't kind of think that scripture's telling the truth. But it is. That inside man is who he's talking about. He's not talking about the outside guy. He's talking about the inside guy. That wicked one toucheth him not. Because listen, if you're born again, your soul is a hot fire coal that Satan can't touch. He can't touch it. He can't even play with your soul. It's sealed. Now, he can play with your flesh and he can play with your spirit. But he cannot play with that soul. That soul is begotten of God. It is God. Right. No less, no more.
Right.
That's what Brother Dale's trying to get us to see. That we're God Almighty in human flesh, just like Jesus was God Almighty in human flesh, except for the virgin birth.
Right.
Amen? But see, if you negate your first birth, then you are leaning towards your second birth, and that's the one we need to look at. And we know, here's John again, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So the whole world's going to be against us. I want to tell you today, when we get toward the end of this thing, remember one thing's for sure. The Bible tells us that the Son of Man would be in the end time just as he was when he walked on the earth. In the days of the Son of Man, what? In other words, the mystery of God is going to be revealed. The Son of Man is coming back. What is the Son of Man? God in human flesh. And if they persecuted the Son of Man himself, they're going to persecute me and you. There was a division. The division was not what they knew who he was as the person. Oh, that's the carpenter boy, or that's Joseph's son, or that's the illegitimate child. But they never come to an understanding that he was Almighty God in human flesh.
Right.
Came exactly the way. How about a man standing up in a temple and say, show me one place. Show me one. And all they had was the Torah, the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament. Show me one place where I don't fulfill all this.
Right.
Oh, you're of your father, the devil. Oh, no, no. Jesus said, no, you're of your father, the devil. Because, see, they didn't call him just a devil. They called him Beelzebub, the king of devils.
Right.
Now, what are they going to do to me and you? Same thing. But remember, I'm going to read a quote in a minute that I read the other day, but it really struck me to go back to read it again, and I see why I read it. Because remember, this is a journey. It's not a one-day ordeal.
Right.
This is a journey.
Yeah.
All right? It's like Dave Ramsey said, we're not into a microwave religion.
Yeah. Right.
This is the crock pot religion.
Right.
It takes a while to cook us and get us made and get us going. We always want to go, well, I just want to be up there at the top of the pyramid when I get started. No, you can't do that. You were a baby when you were born. You did baby things. You made baby mistakes. And then you grew up. And I hope you're not doing the baby things anymore.
Right.
Amen? And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. All right, so we good with that? We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Now remember, John is the only one that was commissioned. Jesus, when He was on earth, He pretty much told John, if John would have got the revelation, that John was going to live to see a second coming, but not the literal second coming. He was going to see it in the book of Revelations by symbols.
Right.
He was going to see Christ come to the church. He was going to see Him in the golden candlesticks. He was going to see Him come back in Revelations 19 and all these things that He showed John. But remember, every other person that was around Jesus either left Him or died. Either left Him, remember, the 40 that left, the 70 that left, they left, no more recording of that, but the 11 that stayed, 12, Judas killed himself, but the 11 that stayed, they all died a martyr's death except one, and that was John, but John was given the commission to stay and live the length of life so he could what? Write this for me and you. Somebody had to record this. So in this first John, this is John telling you what God has given him because he knew he was walking with Him. Remember, he was the youngest. He was just a little lad when Jesus was around. He was the one that was always around Him and laying on His bosom and all the things like that. But right here, he's an older man. He'd been to Patmos. He'd had his life, you know, going up into the 90-year-old, and he'd been in his life, and he says, we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. In other words, at that time, think about it. At that time, John had lost every 11 of the original disciples, plus him, number 12. 11 of the original disciples were dead. They were all gone. He had seen them get martyred by what? For what they believed. Now, this may not be an exciting sermon today, but it's the truth. The separating time is going to show who's got the goods, as Brother Donnie's daddy always said, who's got the goods and who don't have the goods. Amen? Because there will be a separating time. So let's read now an exposition of the seven church ages. Read this again as we've read it before. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. Like I said before, listen, as we'll look down here in just a minute, Pilate said, what is truth?
Right.
Well, then I looked upon the internet, so it must be true. You can laugh. There were 30,000 worldwide Christian organizations and 1,200 different Christian organizations just in the United States alone. Now, God's not that confused. No way. And people have certain amounts of truth. But Jesus said, I'm not part truth. He said, I am the truth. The way, the truth. So now, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. Now, how is the difference in the true church and the false church? There's not much difference. We're not talking about evil out in the world, bar rooms and prostitutes. No, we're talking about two churches. We'll see in just a minute where they're intertwined. You've got the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. They now are grown together so much till most people... Come on, somebody. Most people can't tell the difference. Because he said, Jesus said, this will deceive the very elect if it were possible. This good versus evil that we've always, we hear people talk about good and evil and the fight between good and evil. And yeah, they might know what they're talking about, but they don't really know what they're talking about. Good versus evil is doctrine. Good versus evil is not Democrat and Republican. It's not out there and out here. No, it's in here. This is where the fight is. The fight's right here. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church. In other words, intertwine it, defile it, make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. But it exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he's cast in the lake of fire. Listen, he still fights even though 1,000 years he can't do anything. What an adversary. For 1,000 years he can't touch anybody because he has nothing to work with. But then a little while after that, God releases him out of that prison, out of that bottomless pit. That's Bible. And he goes on a rampage again. Gets one more shot. But his one more shot is as fruitless as the shots he's given now. Amen. We may, listen, I like to do the things of the world as far as going outside. Me and Jim were kind of mapping out our whole year of festivals and things to plant in the garden and the beekeeping stuff. And you know, the thought came to me where the prophet of God, he said, if you're going to plant potatoes, he said, go ahead and plant the potatoes. If you're going to get married tomorrow, go ahead and get married tomorrow. Listen, don't negate all your plans and just say, all right, I'm going to go home and shut the doors because Jesus is coming. No, go about your regular life, but live your life like Jesus is coming tomorrow. So that you will be ready in the time that the thief that does come in tonight to the true bride. We're going to be called away, folks, and nobody's going to know it. It's going to be such a little group. A little group. Not even going to, we're not going to move the needle in population as far as the world goes. Listen, if it was 8 souls that were saved in that type of denominations and the foolish virgin and Enoch was one man that took a body change, he went up and didn't go through any tribulation. That's why I love this, the revelation that we don't have to go through tribulation. We might have to go through persecution, but we will not have to go through tribulation. And if you'll read in Revelations, I'm going back and reading the book of Revelations. You keep reading in Revelations where the Bible says that your skin is going to fall off of your bones while you're still alive. Now that's a nuclear explosion, you know that, because that's the fallout that makes your skin fall off and all these different, and people are going to cry to die and can't. Wow. If you get in Christ, you won't have to worry about that. See, there's one of those fallacies that the denominations teach you that we got to go through tribulation. There's nowhere in the Bible that the bride, now the church does, but there's no, that's why I want to get into maybe some of these doctrinal issues and show how that listen, if you can't separate bride, church, and different, you'll get them all mixed up. Like the man did with Brother Branham. He said, Brother Branham, how in the world can the bride be sitting here and the church be sitting here and this and me sitting here? He said, oh, there's a difference between a bride and a church. Right. Foolish virgin, church, bride, cup of water, just regular sinners. There's a difference. But you got to know the difference and able to read this book called the Book of Revelation. Amen? He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church, and what she is and what she stands for, that she can do the greater work. She will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. Now let's go to that. What is truth? When we go back in the book of Genesis and we look many, many thousands of years ago, there was two doctrines. Cain's doctrine and Abel's doctrine. Amen? Amen? Cain's doctrine was wrong. Cain's doctrine was false. Cain's doctrine was not true. Right. Abel's doctrine was true. But who died? Yeah. Right. Cain killed Abel because of his doctrine, not because he found out he was his half-brother. Right. He killed him because God gave notice to Abel's sacrifice, and he told Cain, if you will change and do better, I'll accept yours. And Cain said, Brother Brown said, take it or leave it, buddy. This is all I'm doing. In other words, my doctrine is right.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say. In other words, I don't care what the word says. I'm going to do what my doctrine or my denomination says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be careful.
Right.
Be careful, because that's Cain.
Right. Right.
And Cain, what did Cain do? Cain's biggest mistake was he walked out from the presence of the Lord. He left what could have saved him. Amen? Same way with you and me. But then we see Cain and Abel. But now what about Judas and Jesus? They were in the same camp. They were in the same place. They were in the same church together. Judas was everywhere Jesus was at. He probably went to church more than the rest of them did. Because he was a money holder. He was a guy that was right there. And finally Jesus said, go do what you need to do. And all the time he was the son of perdition, or not the Antichrist, but he did have an Antichrist spirit in him, because he did not want anything to do with that doctrine that Jesus was preaching. Now we come down to where? To the book of Revelations, where we see there is what? Christ and the Antichrist. All right? It starts as a beast. It's going to end as a beast. Starts as a beast in the garden. It's going to end with a beast in the end time. But Nicaea Rome comes about, and we see in Nicaea Rome in 325 and 606 AD, we proved that there was people come from all over the world into this place, and they were getting this new light. You heard what Brother Brown said this morning. He said people from Irenaeus, people from Martin, people from different ones came to that place. But what did they do? They were overpowered by the Antichrist spirit. Because there was nothing of Christ that came out of that. All it was Romanism. All it was the changing of all doctrines. Listen, the original doctrine. I want you to, somebody show me. We got the original doctrine. There was no three gods. There was no Trinity. There was no water baptism in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. There was no eternal hell. There was no going through the tribulation. There was none of that doctrine. Now, sure, there were little sayings, as we got here before. We read in 1 John 4, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh. Look, and it says it's already in the world. Take it to the next one. And then we go to the opening of the book. Keep going a little bit further. It began as a saying. It began as a what? A baby, a little saying. Well, I don't know if that's right or not. Then it became a deed. Then it became a doctrine. You know what? They started building churches on that. They started building their doctrines on that. They went back, and I never thought about it, but you heard it this morning where Brother Brown was talking about, they went back and had an Old Testament. They went back to an Old Testament form of priests and popes. They went backwards. They didn't go forwards. They went backwards to apostolic succession and all these different things, because that's really what the Levites was. If the Levite died, his son took over. If the son died, the other one took over. They had boys, and they took over. Well, that's kind of like they brought it over, and also there was Moses. And then one thing I can't understand is they had Peter as the first pope, and he had a wife, and now their popes can't have wives. I can't understand that. Right? I mean, the Bible says that Jesus prayed for Peter's mother-in-law. I guess that would mean he had a wife. Amen? I'm glad that, you know what? The Bible put that in there to prove that doctrine. But what did it take? It took a prophet to look at the Roman Catholic Church and say, you got Peter as the first pope, and he had a wife. Now your popes can't have wives. Well, look at what they got themselves into by not having wives.
Right.
Amen? Pretty good history about all that, right? We'll not get into it. But it took the opening of the book. It took the opening of the seals in the end time, because really all these doctrines were shut up by that doctrine that came out in Nicaea, 325 and 606. Amen? And then it was accepted all the way through the Dark Ages. It was accepted even in Martin Luther, and it was accepted in John Wesley. But remember, they had a piece of a message to bring. The just shall live by faith. Apart from all that other stuff, novenas, crawling on the floor, beating yourself and all those different things. Well, that's not Bible. The Bible says believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not by works, not by the beating of yourself or paying novenas. But look how though that doctrine that was 606, and here we are in 2021 and it's still going on. But now you try to bring the doctrine of the first three church ages of no eternal hell and no water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost and all these different, you start try to bring that over and interject it anywhere, guess what happens? You get put out of the house. You see where I'm talking about those two spirits? They're religious. Sometimes I'm kind of inclined that you can carry on a better conversation with a sinner than you can with somebody that's supposed to be a Christian. Because once you get somebody that's supposed to be a Christian and they're living in sin and they're drinking beer and they're cursing every few minutes and you start telling them that those things are wrong, they're not going to like you. But if you tell a sinner, he's like, yep, I am, I know I am. I'm drinking and smoking and cussing and all these different things. You understand? That's what we're going to get to here when we look and see where the prophet of God says the end of all things. Now remember, technically, the seventh seal is not the end of all things. Hold on. I got a quote. At the end of the seventh seal is the end of all things. Right. See, that's the part that I didn't cover the other day because remember, we're just like, oh, the seventh seal's like, all the first seal's like, remember, the prophet says they overlap.
Right.
They lap from one to the other. All right. So you got a little bit coming in here and a little bit, but I'll read it in just a second. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Well, let's go to number two. You got justification, sanctification. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. An incarnate Christ, not an incarnate Pope.
Right.
Or incarnate Cardinal, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Let's read number two. Now, to get the real meaning of this, I must caution you to ever keep in mind that religion is composed of two parts that intertwine, but are as opposite as what? Black and white. Religion and the spiritual world are made of these two trees which had their roots in Eden. Both the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil stood in the midst of the garden, and no doubt their very branches intertwined each other. Thus in the Ephesian church age is the same paradox. The church is made up of good and bad. Two vines make the church. They are like the wheat and tares growing up side by side, but one is true, the other is false. Now God will speak to each one. Now here's the paradox, is God will speak to each one. God will let them believe a lie because he knows they're not going to believe the truth. And he will talk about each one. And he will call them the church. And only the elect will really know which is the true spirit. Now see, only the elect can read the Bible and say, oh, that's talking about the church. Oh, that's talking about the bride. Oh, that's talking about the foolish virgin. You can't read the book of Revelation and get it right without listening to the prophet.
Amen. Right.
Sorry.
That's right.
And led by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Led by the Holy Ghost. Listen to what the prophet said. That's what a prophet does. A prophet what? Interprets. He's a divine interpreter. Not bringing in more or adding or taking a... No. He gives us clarity to what's already been spoken. And he will call them the church, and only the elect will know which is the true spirit. Only the elect will not be deceived. So there's your, only the elect will not be deceived. For Matthew 24:24 says, there arise false Christs, false prophets shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So way back there in the early church, a very short period after Pentecost, the false vine got to intertwine itself around the true vine. We find these deeds of the Nicolaitans, and that spirit is going to be found fighting the true vine, look, until it is destroyed by God.
Right.
Now, have you got it? And it's going to be there according to Matthew 13. Jesus said in the parable, they don't have this, but while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. In other words, the tares and the wheat both sprang up in the parable that Jesus tells.
Right.
The servants of the household come and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? For where's these tares? And he said, look, an enemy has done it. The servant said, well, let's go. In other words, let's go and gather it up. Jesus said, Matthew 13:29, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat. In other words, let them grow to harvest. Let them grow to harvest. This is harvest time. Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles, separate them and burn them. Because remember, what's going to happen? There's only going to be in this new Garden of Eden, there's only going to be the tree of life. There will never be the tree of knowledge of good and evil after we take a body change and after we go into the marriage supper and after we get... Now remember, be careful. In the millennium, it's still there. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because Satan's not done away with. But now in this future home, this new home that John saw come down out of heaven, they won't be but one tree. And that is the tree of life. And you and I will be doing the same thing. We'll be right there with that tree of life, eating the fruit off of that tree. Amen? What a great day. What but makes your eyes water because you don't, you do the thing, you look at all this junk's going on in the world and man, they're in an uproar about everything and sure it kind of makes you a little bit nervous, but you know what? It shouldn't make you nervous. We, like I said before, we've done read the book. We done read the Mars News today. We had a prophet come tell us exactly what was going to happen. So I have no qualms about who's in the White House because it's right there where God wants them. Or whatever's going to happen in this world, economy and everything else. Sure, there's uncertainty many times, but we look and we see that the prophet told us, though, if we could get to what? If we can know where those two spirits are, withstand the Antichrist spirit, that God said we'd be an invincible army. Now how are you going to lose from that? You can't lose. But you got to go through the journey. As Brother Ram says, I'll read it to you in just a minute. At the end of the seventh seal is the end of all things. Not at the beginning. So there must be a beginning where the book is open, but you and I have to go through a journey. Amen? What did the first seal do? The first rider, the seal broke. What happened? The first rider rode off. And the second seal didn't open until the second rider, he gets off of the first horse and gets on the second horse. But now Brother Brown said that the horse just keeps on riding. Why? Because that white righteous church is still here today. The red horse is still here today. The black horse is still here today. And obviously the rider is still here today. But he has moved on up and become from a baby form to where he doesn't want to be God. I mean, be like God. He wants to be God.
Right.
And you know who's going to make him God? Us, with our denominational ideas, are going to make him. That's what's going to put, come on people, that's what's going to put that beast, that's what's going to elevate him.
Right.
I'll promise you, thus saith the Lord. The beast is not going to be, listen to me, a true preacher. He's not going to preach no eternal hell. He's not going to preach and take his Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism out. He's the epitome of false. He's not going to change. But the whole world, listen. I hate to say this, but the whole world is already deceived by him. Already. We're sitting here under that deception. You look at all other denominations and you see that they're this close to that mother church. Remember the Bible says there was a mother and she had daughters. I'm still in the Bible. Now what are daughters? What are women? Churches. Amen. You had the mother whore and then you had all of her daughters. What? That accepted the system that they're in, right? I hate to say it, but you know what? That's what Jesus stood up and said. He said, in other words, whatever doctrine you're teaching, because I'm going to read it here in a minute, because they identified themselves as children of Abraham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were by lineage. We have Moses as our father. Jesus said, if you'd have believed Moses, you'd have believed me.
Right.
We have our underline, whatever you want to underline, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Branhamism, whatever you want to call it. We have that. Jesus said, if you'd have believed them, you'd have believed me. Right? Listen, as we look, here's my whole point. As we look at Jesus in the Bible doing what he's supposed to do, he was the Word made flesh. Right? He was everything the Bible up to that point had said about him. Everything. Didn't miss it. And they killed him for being who the Bible said he was going to be. What about me and you? We may not physically die, but we sure get it in other ways. Listen. Let's go to number four. Skip that one. Because we know the two spirits are going to go in their separate destinations. The two vines will have to. There will have to be a separating time between the wheat and the tares. Okay? Number four, though. All right, let's go down to the bottom. Well, no, let's read it all. I'm sorry. Now, the church life is at the end, the normal church, the church. Now, this is 1960 before the seals open. Now, this may stick just a little bit, but the church carnal, the Esau church, she's come to her end. What's she doing? Heading up in the Federation of Churches, which will finally join the Romanism to fight Catholicism, and he stopped. And it's Catholicism to fight communism. You got to remember, when Brother Branham was teaching in the 50s and the 60s, man, they just knew communism was the Antichrist. Because communism this and communism, he said, don't worry about communism. He said, God raised up communism so the Romanism could take over. Wow. Pope John is calling for all the churches to come back. Now, that's 1960. What about now? And I'll tell you a little story in just a second. Bob, you're going to have to help me with this. And they'll unite themselves together just exactly what thus saith the Lord. Remember we watched that thing that Willie had showed us at your house on the painted fire picture. The Pope today is standing up. And what did they call it? It's so close. But remember, he comes in with flattery. He brings all the economies together. And that's what his whole speech was. And then they had, I'm talking about, when I say Rothschild, does that mean anything to anybody? Bill Gates can't hold a bathroom compared to the Rothschilds. And all those different ones that are way above the Bill Gates. You're talking about the Bilderberg people. They are all in with the Pope. And it's not called socialism now. And that's exactly all democratic is socialism. And here we got democratic president. We got democratic everybody. So we got socialism. Don't worry about it. But Pope is standing up and saying, what did he say? Bring them all together. And then you've got the Rothschild lady. You've got a head of this company. I'm talking about lightweight. I ain't talking about Bill Gates. Bill Gates to these people are chumps. And he's worth $60 billion. Right? This is way up above that. And they've got every one of them on a video. And they're not calling it socialism, but it's more of a form of capitalism that everybody shares everything. Well, now that's socialism, folks. And I'm not into politics, but I'm telling you, it's Romanism. It's the Pope taking over. He stood right in the middle of that video and he told him, he said, oh, this is the greatest thing. And then all the other ones was like, this is the greatest thing. And you know what? If you sat there and watched it, and you poor man like me, you look at him and go, man, that sounds pretty good. They gonna give me some of their money. Not! Listen, when you have a socialistic society, people do get rich. See, in a socialistic society, though, it's supposed to be that if I make $10 billion and he makes $2, I give him some of mine and we become equal. Ain't a happening. Ain't never happening. Ain't never going to happen. You've got your rich and you got your poor. And that's just the way it is. But remember, this is raised up Catholicism to fight communism. Well, you know what they done? What did they do? The Pope. Why I'm going this way, I don't know. The Pope and Ronald Reagan gets together and bust up all the communism states, right? Remember Russia? They just broke them. And it went back into Yugoslavia, Poland, and all the different ones. It broke up into the different states. But remember, the prophet of God said, thus saith the Lord, you watch Russia. The bear's not dead. The bear's still there. But they're going to unite. That video was so nice. It was, it had some really pretty music behind it, didn't it, Brother Bob? It was just like, it was going to rock you to sleep. We're going to take this new form of capitalism to the world. And you know what? They want you to join. Right? They look right at you and go, you need to come and join this with us. This is going to be the new wave. And the Pope's up there going, this is the new wave. You just wait and see. Folks, we're heading to something. But we're heading to something. We are guaranteed we're not going to get caught up in that. The true bride. Not the church. The true bride will not get caught up in that. Number five, the breach between the seven church ages. But just think about those things. I don't remember. Maybe I'll get Bob to pull it up for me and we'll, or to find it. Brother William had it on his phone, but it was just a real, I mean, it just like had butterflies and doves and birds and things chirping. I mean, it was just like, you're like, oh man, this is great. No, it's bringing everything together under the head of one man, the Pope. Amen. And all the other denominations are going to follow right behind them. Amen. Number five. A seal signifies a finished work. And when the seventh seal is broken, now watch, when the seventh seal is broken, they're talking about breaking it on the breach. Everybody got that? When the seventh seal is broken, but now that's not the end of the seventh seal, that's when it breaks. The mystery of God that's sealed up in these mysterious seals is finished. In other words, it's got to go through and it will be finished until the day the seal is broken, then it's revealed what's on the inside of it. In other words, remember what he said about the boxcar. That's what we're looking at. The boxcar, remember, is what? You don't know what's behind it. If a man's wondering what's in the boxcar, you say it's supposed to be such and such. It's supposed to be. He's presuming. Man has been presuming for thousands of years. But listen, there's not presuming in God. There's truth. Everything else is error. But when the seal is broken, the door is open. Now look, the door is open. Everybody got that? But there's something in there. And it's got to be revealed. And that's only done at the end time, right now. Right. Well, what's inside that boxcar? The real bride. Right. The one that's going to make it. Yeah. Amen. Well, I hope this hits your heart. Listen, you got something to do with this. Every bit of this is centered around you.
Right.
Every bit of this Bible, this end time word that's come together is centered on me and you. I was thanking God this morning of all the continents he let me go to and all the places and all the people he's allowed me to meet because of this message of the hour. And to know that that is truth. We're not going out searching for truth. Truth is here. Now look at number six. Now remember you got a box car, you got product in the car, you got a door that's sealed, but the product's in there. But now, it's like I said before, but what if you like pizza? You like pizza? Or steak? Steak better than pizza? Huh? Steak. Okay, my steak boy here. But now what if you knew, you said, what smells like steak? I don't know what's in that boxcar, but what if somebody comes by and opens it? What if some man, some prophet, comes and opens the door? And what's he going to do? Is he going to stand in the door and say, now, I know you like steak, but you can't have none of that. No, a true man of God is going to say, that thing's full. Have at it.
Yeah.
So that's what the seventh seal did. When I believe the prophet, when the seal's open here in the end time, it was not to finish everything at that moment as far as moment of time. Right here. But it was going towards something. Because I want to eat what's in that boxcar. I like steak too. Amen? Then watch what he says though, look. We must remember that this seventh seal book is the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up, of the plan of redemption. See, nobody's ever been able to get the plan of redemption right until now.
Right, amen.
The water baptism and the way to get justified, the way to get sanctified. The Baptists have a real good, once saved, always saved, justification. Because God will forgive you of your past sins. But you got to keep going. Not shake somebody's hand and 5 years later come back to church. And keep doing what you're doing. No. The Bible says the unclean spirit goes out. In sanctification. And then the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not just a feeling or a sensation or a shaking of hand or this. It's God Almighty coming in and changing you. Burning out the old you. That's the book that sealed up the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. It ever been ends. It is the end. It's the end of the struggling world. It's the end of the struggling nature. It's the end of everything. Now look, watch this. This is where I got it. In there is the end of the trumpets. Now when does the trumpet end? The trumpets don't end while we're here. The feast of the trumpets to Israel ends when the way over to 144,000. You see this journey. But the seal had to open here to a bride for us to be able to preach it. As Brother Dale's preaching it for the body change and the different things, we had to have that boxcar open and partake of what's in the boxcar. Then it shows us, listen, we got a clear path all the way to where we're going to live eternally in a home. Without any question. I don't have to go ask Father so-and-so what's going on. Because Father so-and-so may tell you something else besides what other Father so-and-so said. Amen? But now remember, as we're going to get to in a minute, they come to Jesus and ask him questions and they did not believe what he said. Because he didn't tell them the normal of their doctrine. Amen? That's why we're not very normal. Because we have to be like Jesus Christ was. We have to be where the whole world... You know what? The sinners didn't hate Jesus. The prostitutes didn't hate Jesus. Some of the publicans, they didn't hate Jesus. Who hated him? The religious world hated him. That antichrist spirit that was in those people hated Jesus Christ. And so it will in the end time. It is the end. It's the end of the struggling world. It's the end of the struggling nature. It's the end of everything. And there's the end of the trumpets, the end of the vials. Now remember, the vials get poured out after we're gone. Yeah. It's the end of the earth. The earth gets after we're gone. It's even the end of time. Time runs out, Bible says. Now look, the time runs out. Literal time on earth doesn't run out until the future home starts. Because right. During the millennium, you still have time, right? But now watch what he says. The Bible said so. Revelation 10. 1-7, time runs out. The angel says time will be no longer. The day is this great thing to happen. Now watch. Everything runs out in this time, the end of, at the end of this seventh seal. Now, it's open here today, if you believe it. But the culmination of it is not going to be over here until we walk into the future home. All right? Same way with Jesus Christ. Now remember, when he was born a baby. He was still born Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't change into God in his journey. And what was he? He was the seventh seal. But he had to come to an end so that you and I could come to a beginning. He had to die. He had to ascend, or he had to come back. He had to take on a glorified body. He had to ascend, and he had to come back so that he could further that seventh seal ending in me and you. Down here. In the bride now. I'm talking about the bride. I ain't talking about the 144,000. I ain't talking about the church. I'm talking about the bride. The bride has an ending of a seventh seal. It's when we take a body change because it's when Jesus Christ has revealed himself just like he was back then. That's what Brother Dale's been talking about. Amen? At the end of this seventh seal, now watch, notice, it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seven seals. It's the end of the trumpets, the end of the vials. Ends the ushering in of the millennium, that's on that seventh seal. It's like firing a rocket. All right, we'll read to skip time. Go to Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice, there's got to be six angels. There's got to be seven angels sound. When this seventh angel sounds, all right, Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, an angel is a what? A messenger. When he shall begin to sound the mystery, one mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And what have I told you that mystery was? Paul told you what that mystery was. The great mystery of the Gentiles is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if Christ is in you, are you going to have 3 or 4 different ideas? I don't think so. But how we come to, Jesus had to come to an end. His life on earth came to an end. On Easter, or on Good Friday, Jesus died. Right? He died. A physical death. He died. Went to the grave. His body was dead and cold. But he resurrected. Because he said he was going to resurrect. And he resurrected because the Old Testament said he was going to resurrect. I'll not leave my soul in hell or leave my Holy One to see corruption. So within the 3 days, he came back up. And what did he do, though? Being God Almighty in human flesh, though, now, when he was on earth, he didn't save one person. Oh, he told the prostitute, go on and sin no more. You understand what I'm saying? But there was no birth of a family member until the day of Pentecost. So on the day of Pentecost, that started, to me, see, that started that seventh seal. It opened on the day of Pentecost. Because that was Christ. He is those seals. He is those what? The very redemption plan he came to give us started on the day of Pentecost. No other, now sure, there's pieces in there. You understand what I mean? They'll be given eternal life. I'm talking about the Genesis 1:26. The bride people, the people that were inside of him when he was on the cross came out. The seal, Brother Brown says, the seal of death was broke. To what? To show not just Jesus Christ, he's to show you. Oh, I gotta go away, but I'm coming back. I'm not coming back to confuse you though. That was the Antichrist. He comes to confuse. Christ does not come to confuse. But listen to this real quick, then we'll close. Number 7, let's read it. I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation or we will fail to get it. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study and thinking to make this Bible real. Let me ask you a question. How many of you read the Bible before you came in the message? Raise your hands. About 70% of the people. You read a little different though, didn't you? Did you not? When you read these mysteries or these things that are not mystery anymore, like Brother Tatum used to say, old Brother Tatum, bless his heart, I miss him, we'll see him. He said he'd read, I guess he was Pentecost or Baptist, he's probably Baptist. He'd read, he said, I'd turn that Bible and I'd read Matthew 28:19. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, or in the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. He said, but when I got over there to Acts 2:38, he said, I did this. Yeah. Why? He didn't want to read what was written already in the Word of God. It was contrary to what? To what somebody had told him.
Right.
Not what the Bible said, but contrary to what somebody had told him. And you know what it does every once in a while? How many times have you, when you come into the message of the hour and you hear the certain things, and there's still that little gnawing inside goes, I don't know if that's right or not. Man, I've been taught since I was a baby how to be baptized. I've been taught since I was a baby that these things were whatever. Like I said before, mama's walking on the streets to go with the Lord. No, she's not. That's not Bible. That's somebody told you that. Right? Your mama ain't walking on the streets to go with Jesus right now. That's over in the future home way long time from here. They're in another dimension and they're waiting to see Jesus, but they're not with him right now. But we see that but then what do you do now though? You read the Bible, just like Hattie Wright said, and when you read it, you say, that ain't nothing but the truth.
Right.
It can't be all other way.
And glory.
It can't be. But so let's take this situation. Let's go to John 6, verse 53. Now, we've seen some strange things. Listen, look at me. Don't look at that. Turn that off. Thank you. I like it when they do what I say. We come to situations, though, to where we did come to the message of the hour, to the truth, or whatever you want to call. I say the message of the hour. Everybody has a message. There is a message. But listen, there's not 16 different one message of the hour. There's only one message for each church age, for each hour, and we are under number 7, right? But when we start talking about these things, it becomes strange. Like I read you in 1 John, the world heareth what the world wants to hear. But we hear what we hear. Right? All right, so now let me set the stage. Here's the most. Come here. You sit on the front row, we'll use you anyway. Come on. Sorry. This is Caiaphas. You think I was going to be that? Okay, this is Jesus. I'm Caiaphas. Now look, I'm the high priest. Right? Everybody say, uh-huh. Uh-huh. I'm the high priest. I am the most religious person on the face of the earth at the moment. According to the world, according to the Torah, according to Isaiah, according to... Amen? I have not one spot against my lineage. I don't eat cheese and all that other stuff together with them. I don't eat dead animals. You understand what I mean? I don't eat pork. I don't eat anything. Whatever the Bible tells me to do at the moment, I don't do it. Because I cannot be the high priest without that happening. So guess what? I'm the headstone of that message of that hour. Right? None higher. I'm Caiaphas, and I got all my Caiaphases, little Caiaphases around me, right? And they're the same way. They're the same way. They read the Torah every day. They read the prophets every day, right? So here walks this man up, just a common guy. He don't have on, like, good robes, and he's probably a little, you know, he's been out in the desert, and, you know, he's... hair's all messed up. But he comes walking in and he starts saying things strange to what I live by. Does that sound familiar? Strange to what I live by. He says strange things. Strange, man, what? But yet this man is the Word of God. There's not a piece of him that's not the Word of God. He came the way the Word said. He was the Word made flesh. He was the one... Listen, folks. Let me get... See this man? This is Jesus. He wrote what they're trying to live. Right. You say, oh, no, he's the second person. No, forget it. They weren't but one God. Right. Listen, they even said that Jesus, they said, you are the Creator. In other words, this guy that was standing here, not the flesh, but this guy that was inside here, they realized that was Christ. That all the way at the beginning of the world, he was the Creator. But now Caiaphas didn't. Caiaphas just thought he was some common, ordinary guy. And, you know, he says things different than what I say, but now I'm the religion of the day. I'm the guy you got to listen to. Isn't that true? And you know what they did? They depended on Caiaphas to put on the right robe. They depended on Caiaphas to wash the right animal. They depended on Caiaphas to kill the right animal. They depended on Caiaphas to take that one vial of blood and go into the Holy of Holies. Which that's Holy of Holies is standing right there. Sprinkle the blood and atone for all of Israel's sin. And they depended on that man to do that. Am I strong enough? And he walked out and he was the high priest. Couldn't touch him. Couldn't touch him. Yet here walks up a guy. Starts talking and he fulfills everything that they're saying over here. Everything. He's the whole word, remember? He's not just part of it. Isaiah was part of it. Now this man is all of it. But yet what does Caiaphas do when he walks up? You're of a devil. You're not just a part of a devil. You got every, you're the head man. You're like, I'm the head priest. You're the, like, I'm the headstone. You're the headstone of demons. Now, how can that be? How can that be? Sit down. John 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, who's them? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh, oh my goodness, of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now wait a minute. The man of the hour standing here. He's saying, I ain't got to do any of that. But this man over here is saying, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You know what he was saying? Caiaphas, whatever you're doing is lifeless. He said, you have made your traditions. In other words, a stink in the nostril of God. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. He didn't just make a quote. He's preaching here. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath what? Eternal life. How can that happen, Caiaphas says. And I will raise him up. Look at the power this man said he had. If you got eternal life, I'll raise you up. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, how strange of a doctrine is that? Sounds real weird, doesn't it? Kind of like when you first came in the message, and weird doctrines sound a little weird, didn't they? Amen? As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread. Now listen, he's taking them all the way back to the children of Israel. And he's telling them who he was or who he is. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. And I'm sure Caiaphas and him are going, wait a minute, that was a loaf of bread and it come floating down, and how in the world is it you? Well, guess what? He's the one that created it.
Right.
That's why he can say this. Listen, this man didn't have a bunch of history books to listen to or what or read. Jesus was the history book. Right. He was back in history.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying it. Listen, let that thing out that's inside of you. If you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you were standing there when God said, let there be light. Are y'all okay? I know you're about half asleep, but this ought to excite you pretty much. Because you know what? If you were back there, you're going to be in the future home. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. And if you'll look up that word dead, remember what Brother Brown said? That was eternally separated from God. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now look, these things he said as he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now look, Jesus told him one day, he said, look, this thing wasn't done in a corner.
Right.
I've been standing in this temple with you,
right,
trying to get you to see who I am. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew it himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said, does this offend you? Sisters, brothers, does it offend you for somebody to preach and step on your toes every once in a while? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? Now wait a minute, hold on. Who are you saying you are? I'm standing here, yet I'm ascended, yet I've come back. See how confusing that would be to a normal person, though? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, They are spirit and they are life. Why didn't just everybody, why didn't Caiaphas just say, all right, if you're it, I'm here. Because you know why? It was them two spirits fighting each other.
That's right.
There was two spirits in there fighting each other just like the same way they fight now.
Right.
It is the spirit that quickeneth the flesh, Papa. There's nothing. The word that I speak of you, they are what? Spirit and life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who were they that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say it unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, this is, y'all know this is John 6, verse 66, right? 666, the number of man? Oh. John 6, 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples, what? Went back and walked no more with him. Couldn't take it. Couldn't take this new revelation. Couldn't take this new doctrine. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you go away? Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. That's what you got to decide today. Who's got the words of eternal life? It's not Wade Dale, Samuel Dale. It's the living word of God in all of us. Let's go to John 8. It gets worse. John 8, verse 39. Look, they answered and said unto him. Now, who is they? If you'll read it before, it's the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the, I don't know if Caiaphas was here at the time, but it's kind of the high guys. They answered and said unto him, I'm sure they took the little thing and said, Abraham's our father.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, in other words, if you can read the Bible like I'm reading the Bible, you'll know who I am. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth. Which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. In other words, Abraham didn't go around trying to kill everybody that told him what was going on. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. In other words, we know where you came from. You and that, your mama, she didn't have no daddy, you didn't have no daddy. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you'd love me. Wow. If God were your Father, you'd love me. Look, folks, this is what we're talking about now. The two spirits are talking to each other. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why did you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You can hear my, what I, you can hear my verbiage. You can hear the sound, you know, the wave, sound waves were in their ear. But he said, you're not listening to what I said. Cause watch what he says. Ye of your father, wow. Don't ever tell me that. Ye of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer. He took them all the way back to Cain.
Yep.
He took them all the way back to Genesis chapter 4.
Right.
And said, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth.
Right.
Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, in other words, you're doing the same thing. Ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin?
Right.
And if you say the truth, why do you not believe me? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not because you are not of God. Boy, that seal broke right there.
Oh, yeah.
Opened that thing up and he was telling them who he was. But what did they do? They rejected him. They put him on a tree. They killed him. Let's read this right here. Then we'll close. Musicians, get ready. Matthew 24, verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in many places. Now this is the end time. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now this is Jesus preaching the seals, but watch. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Luke 21 verse 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord, for this promise. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall be caused to put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men. Wait a minute. For my name's sake. He said that before. For my name's sake.
Right.
But there shall not a hair of your head perish. John 16 verse 1. Listen to this. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. When Caiaphas put Jesus on the cross, he thought he was doing exactly what his father was telling him to do. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me.
Right.
Not trying to scare you, folks, but I'm telling you, the separation time is not going to be pretty.
Right.
It wasn't pretty back then, and it's not going to be pretty now.
Right.
It's going to be, and listen, it ain't us against them.
Right.
It's the two spirits.
Right.
It's God fighting a battle and Satan fighting a battle. It's Michael is still fighting for you, and Satan is still fighting against you.
Yeah.
Now remember, how does the battle get won?
Right.
Whoever you yield to and get 2-1 on each side, either side, 2-1 on either side.
Right.
It's your decision to make whether you want to seek the truth or live under a truth. There are people that have a truth.
Right.
But there's not anybody that has the truth. Except the ones that can take this word of God and word by word put it together. Because Satan can't do that. And he hates it. That's why he loves the denominational world. Because they've got it all different, in different ways. Different. They add this, they take out that, they add this. They make a new Bible, they make a new novena, they make a new Apostles' Creed. They say this, you got to say this, and you got to do the little sign of the cross and all those things. God's not in none of that. God's in His Word.
Right.
And just like I showed you the difference between the two, there is a physical, there's a spirit, but now that spirit anoints physical people. You got to remember, it doesn't just float out in the air.
Right.
It anoints physical people.
Right.
Satan was anointing Caiaphas just like he anointed that beast in the end time. I mean, in the beginning.
Right.
And just like he'll anoint that beast in the end time.
Right. Yeah.
Just as a beginning, he was speaking through Caiaphas. Because look, Caiaphas couldn't say, couldn't look at the Word of God and the Word of God be in him, and he look and say, you're Beelzebub. That can't happen. Because Jesus even said, look, he said, how can Satan cast out Satan? You see me cast these evil spirits out. How can Satan cast out Satan unless his house be divided? You know what? That didn't bother them one bit. They just kept right on going. As whoever it was preaching, somebody was preaching William, the veil was rent from top to bottom, and that thing's what, 60 feet tall, didn't he say? They had to know that was God that did that. A man didn't crawl up there and cut the thing from top to bottom. Now see, if it would have been rent from bottom to top, they could have said somebody cut it and then ripped it. But it was rent from top to bottom. God rent that thing. God pulled it apart.
Glory.
He said, I'm done with this. I'm not hidden anymore.
Right.
When I come back in 3 days, I'll not be hit again.
Right.
I'm going to be what? But I'm going to be inside of a group of people.
Right.
And they're going to believe what I said.
Right.
They're going to be my children. They're going to be led by the Spirit of God. They're going to be led to truth. Musicians come. They're going to be led to the truth. Everybody that's born of God will be led to the truth. No need to concern ourselves with world affairs. But now remember, like I said before, that Jesus didn't go crawl up in a cave and stay there for 30-something years. No, he lived his life. He worked in his daddy's carpenter shop. He probably got splinters in his hand. And he probably can make a real nice piece of furniture. You understand what I'm saying? But when his job come, he didn't shy away at it either. He went straight into the synagogue. He didn't, he says that I didn't do this in a corner. I didn't do this in the shadow somewhere. I did it right out here in plain view. Same way when the prophet of God come in the end time, he said, I didn't hide. I came to every one of you denominations and you turned me down. Just like your daddy denomination turned me down in the beginning. Cause if Christ is in you, the hope of glory, it's the same thing's going to happen. Right? So you say, well, the seventh seal is just like, there it is. No. If you'll remember the analogy, Brother Brown said, when we used to watch people shoot Roman candles in another state, because it was illegal in the state of Georgia for a while. But you remember what a Roman candle does, though? It's got like 8 balls in it. You hit the ignition, and they go up. Well, what do those balls do? They burst. Then they burst. And then they keep bursting. And if it was an eternal burst, it would just be, it started from one ball, but it just kept bursting and bursting. But that's what God did on the day of Pentecost. But that's what Brother Branham was talking about, the seventh seal. He said it's like a rocket going off. What is it? It's a journey. Tomorrow you're going to have a pop. The next day you're going to have a pop. Revelation. The next day you're going to go, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for, oh, Brother John, you ought to know that whole company you work for is working for you. Well, did they move it 15 miles away? They moved it what? 15 miles close to exactly where you live. And they didn't ask you where you live, did they? You know what it was? It was God. God swooped down and said, hey, move that thing 15 miles closer. And they didn't really say that. You know what? It was just an unction. But then John walks in one day and he's got that big old smile on his face. He's going, man, y'all know what y'all just did? They said, no. You moved 15 miles closer to my work. And you know what? They probably just said, oh, well, okay. No, that was God did that. Everything you got in your life, let's stand our feet. Everything you do. How many of you can testify all day long of things that God's done for you? That it's not being controlled by the world. Because you know what? You won't know how many other buildings they may have tried to choose. How many times you tried to do something and you say, oh man, that door just shut. But if you're a child of God, you know who shut that door? God shut the door. Because God got you 15 miles closer over here. God didn't want them to go over here in this warehouse. It was 30 miles away. He wanted to go in this warehouse over here. And you know what? The warehouse was empty. Was it owned by the company? Yeah. See there, they may have just said, well, we own this building over here, but I think we're going to buy that one. Why are we buying that one? I don't know. You told us to buy it, so we bought it. And God's going, I told you to do it. For my bride. He takes care of his children. He's not obligated to take care of nobody else but his own children. Now, God's a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. But we don't believe in greasy grace either. God's not going to just let you get by with anything in the world. Because you know what? We still got to live by this. This is our standard right here. Now, other than that, ask what you will. You know what? Did you ask to be 15 miles closer? You didn't even ask it, did you? But God knew if they run you 20 miles away, you'd be going, Lord, I wish I'd asked for it. He just went ahead and gave it to you. Man, what a mighty God we serve. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Listen, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered to the Lord. Our good footsteps of a good man, look it up right, of a good man is ordered to the Lord. So I believe every time we look at Brother Ryan, all the different things, that anybody's testimony, look how God has just, he shifts a whole company. He shut down one sometime for somebody, just shut the whole, oh, Sister Johnny. Sister Johnny was living in New York, and they were getting ready to shut the thing down where she was working, so she just got a promotion. And every time it was a promotion, I think, she got moved to a different position. They were going to close this whole division. But they're set a bride. They're set one of God's children that needed to work so she could get retirement, so she could move back down here. You don't think God don't work? Yeah, God does every bit of that. Because they'd shut that thing down, that division right here, and all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, there Sister Johnny popped up over here in this division over here of wherever she worked for, Citibank or somewhere like that. But she can tell you the story. But how many times have you done that all through your life?
Right.
It's not been a chance. I do not believe in chance. I do not believe in luck.
Right.
I believe in the providence of God.
Right.
But the providence of God, when he wrote this word right here, it's already done. Can't change.
Right.
It's settled. But you know what? The Bible says he knows what you're going to ask before you even ask him. Because you would have probably said, Lord, why didn't you make that 15? No, he just said, go ahead and give him 15 miles closer. I think that's wonderful. I think that deserves a hand clap. I think that deserves, thank you, God. That he's mindful. Even in this wicked world we live in, he's still mindful. And listen, he's the only one that can change the mind of an owner of a, have you ever tried to change the mind of old Bob? You ever tried to change the minds of them lawyers down there? Oh, buddy. It's not impossible with God, though. Because all he's going to do is just change, and you can't, even the devil can't do nothing about it. But God changes the mind of people to fit me and you. Folks, let me tell you something. He loves us. And like the scripture says, there's not one hair on your head shall perish. You say, well, I'm losing my hair. Well, no, you're not. You're going to have every bit of it, because God said right here, there shall not a hair of your head perish. It's somewhere. You'll get it back. Don't worry. When we come to the change, we'll get it back. Some of you don't need it. Some of you do. Brother John, let's sing a song. God bless your heart. Now we've ended this. And follow Jesus. Oh, take up your cross. Take up your cross every day. Oh yes, don't be ashamed to say that you love him. Oh, count up the cost. Just take up your cross. Oh yes, and follow him. Every morning when you get up out of that bed,
take up your cross.
Reach over and get that cross.
Glory and follow Jesus.
Because when Jesus took up that cross, Satan might not understood at the moment.
Take up your
but he did understand.
Cross.
When that same man that carried that cross
every
came back on the day of Pentecost and entered
yes.
a bunch of people.
Don't be ashamed.
And he's been doing it ever since.
To say that you know him.
Just count up the cost. If you have a need, let's sing it one more time.
And follow him.
Sing it to
yes,
him.
Just
oh, take up your cross
and follow Jesus.
Oh, take up your cross
oh,
every day. Oh, don't be ashamed. Say that you love him.
Oh, just
count up the cost
and take up your cross and follow him.
Listen, Jesus didn't try to be strange, but what he was made him strange.
Amen.
He didn't try to act weird. He acted what he was, and it was weird to the world. That's why we, as believers in this end time, the world thinks we're weird. I mean, really? Well, why do you do this? Why? Well, but the Bible tells us to do it. We're the only Bible-believing people on the face of the earth. I don't care what anybody says. I'll challenge anybody in the world. We're the only full Bible-believing people on the face of the earth right now. And if you don't believe that, then you can't be bride.
Right.
Because what's inside of you is what wrote this Bible.
Amen.
You can't deny. Can Satan cast out Satan? Can you deny the word if you got the word inside of you? You can't do that. Sure, you can be confused and there can be things, but ye, listen. The seventh seal's open, so the book is an open book. Now, the journey is to go in there and eat that pizza, go in there and eat that steak. Amen? When that book was open, that opened from eternity to eternity.
Right.
We now know everything we need to know to get out of here.
Right.
It's already inside of you. The problem is we suppress it so much, and we let this demon do this, and we let this devil do that, and we let this situation do that, and we let this take away our joy and our happiness. Listen. We're the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's not my job or Brother Dale's job to protect you. It's your Father's job to protect you. We just tell you what the Father's already said about you. We don't tell you no different, strange doctrine. No, we just tell you exactly what the Father... Remember what my Brother Brown said? He said, what is a preacher's job? To break the scale over the people's eyes that Satan, in other words, has put over your eyes all during the week and give you doubts and give you fears and give you anxiety and give you this and give you that. Our job is to get into the Bible and say, look, this is what he's already said about you. We win. The bride will win.
Amen.
Right.
It might have looked real bad, Brother John. It read the worst time. If you were somebody standing looking at Calvary, and what did all the guys do? They left. They run. They scattered. Even when he resurrected, Peter went fishing. I can't understand that, but I can now. Peter didn't have a revelation really who that was.
Right.
But boy, on the day of Pentecost, though. Peter was the first guy. He was the first guy to stand up and he said, I think I got some keys I need to use. Because that man gave me some keys and now on the day of Pentecost, he's now inside of me, so I think I'm going to use these keys, he said.
Yeah.
Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and your children and to them that are afar off. All the way into seven church ages. Here we are. We've come up to the time. They would love to be here. How many times did the prophet tell us that? And Jesus even said, look, he said, those prophets desired to see your day. Well, all those prophets, even Paul, Irenaeus, Mark, all of them desired to be standing right here. They wanted to see this right here come to fruition. Because they didn't see it in their day. They'll see it in this day.
Glory.
When we meet them, they're going to say, how in the world did you make it through Laodicea? Darkest time, most demons, most spiritual devils in the world. Paul said, I saw it, but I didn't know exactly what was going on. But God sent us a prophet to turn the light on.
Right.
Not make new light.
Right.
Come on now. He didn't make new light.
Right.
He gave us light.
Amen.
On what's already been here in the Bible.
Right.
Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen.
Please have a safe time. Pray for Brother Luis as he preaches for us on Wednesday. And that the Lord will take care of each and every one of us and bring us back Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday we'll have the same time. Brother Terrence, what are we doing? Anybody shifting for next week?
No, we're going to try to do it all.
We're going to try to do it all. It looks like downstairs is kind of working itself out so everybody can stay and eat. We've had plenty of room so far. Thanks to Brother Ryan and some of the ones that are arbitrarily going out to eat and leaving space for everybody to have lunch. And thank you for coming back second service. I know it's hard, but there ain't nothing easy about this except believing that God is your daddy. And if God's your daddy, then you're his children and he will take care of you no matter. The devil can't touch. Mama bear, don't mess with that kid, that cub. Mama bear will kill you. You mess with anything else, but don't you get between that mama cub, mama and her cubs. So don't get between God and his children. You're going to lose every time. Devil, I hope you hear me. You're going to lose every time. It may look bad and very dark at the hour of Calvary. It may look real bad. The sun went down, storms and all this stuff, and people scattered and run, and I'm sure they probably got in a corner and said, oh, this was the one. Remember, the road to Emmaus, they thought, man, this is the one. Have you not heard? They killed him and put him in a tomb, and they were talking to the guy. Jesus had done turned back to a young man. He'd done resurrected, and they were talking to the guy, and what'd he do? He said, oh, fools and slow of heart. Took them back, the Bible says, into the book of Isaiah and walked them right through, I bet you, right to the time where he was standing right there. And they said, come on in and sup with us. We want you to stay. Let's have Jesus come and sup with us today. Let's bow our heads. To Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you give us. We pray that, Lord, what we've said would be pleasing to your ears. We pray that it'll go into the hearts of the believers, Lord, and we'll realize that we're your children. And you said you'd take care of us, Lord. In the darkest hour that we go through, Lord, we can look up and say, Father, forgive us. Father, hold us in your hands. Father, cover us by your wings. Father, put us in your pavilion, Lord, where we can be safe. Lord, the whole world's raging over different things, one thing and another. All the viruses and all the things going on. But Lord, you said you'd have a bride that'll make it through. So this is not coming to an end, as the world would say, come to an end. This is just the beginning of what I believe you're going to show the whole world just for a moment. That you got a group of people on the earth that believes you. And I pray that you'd bring us to that, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you. Forgive us of our sins and be with us on the highway as we go home. Be with the ones, Lord, that are sick today, the ones that couldn't get here. Be with Brother Darrell's family, Lord, as they're putting him to rest. Lord, we appreciate seeing him. Now we'll know another one for us to see, Lord, when they come back, Father. We're just happy for that, but sad that we're not going to get to see him on this side. But glorious to know that he's standing in that sixth dimension, Lord, in a glorified condition, waiting on us to bring him back here. Lord, thank you for all the things you've given us, revelation, Lord, not to puff us up and make us think we're somebody special, but Lord, you made us special. If we hide in your pavilion, if we become your children, you make us special, Lord, because you're, as David, the apple of your eye, Lord. We thank you for all things. Bless our pastor. Keep him safe, Lord. Be with each one. Be with Luis on the way home, Lord. It's a long trip there from Ohio. He'll be taken tomorrow. Just be with him and bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.